Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, October 9th, 2012, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar and Anastasia. Our guest this evening is Peter Sterling, a self-taught harpist who began to play after a series of life-changing angel encounters in the canyons of Sedona in the early 90s. Guided by the angels, he recorded his first CD, Harp Magic, after only 10 months of playing with no formal lessons. Harp Magic was released worldwide to critical acclaim and later nominated for String Album of the Year in 94. His angelic music has touched thousands around the world with its simple beauty resonating deep in the heart of the listener. His music has topped the New Age radio charts and been nominated for several awards, and his most recent CD, Patterns of Reflection, was number one on International New Age Radio for March of 2012. His first book, Hearing the Angels Sing, takes readers into Peter's magical world, following a trail of synchronicities and angelic guidance through the challenges, revelations, and obstacles he encounters on the road to becoming a world-class harpist in service to the angels. His website is magicharp.com. Also tonight, we have the third of a three-part segment with Lavendar talking with her close friend, Deb Regas, about her recent book, Everyone's a Guru. Deb wrote the book 2 years ago, but because of breast cancer, she is just now releasing it. Lavendar hopes that you'll go to her website, which is thalasabooks.com, and that's spelled T-H-A-L-A-S-S-A books, B-O-O-K-S, .com, and order this book in order to support Deb in the fight for her life. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing current events of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails sent to us from all around the globe. We want to thank Chris for hosting the switchboard this evening, and we invite you to call in with questions or comments tonight. And the number to call in is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, please click follow on our show page. You'll get our show notices, and it will help promote our show and guests. And then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. We'd also like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed Forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. Please allow 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. Okay, so now I would like to welcome my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Lavendar here, and I'm so excited that we are having Peter on tonight. I have read his book, and I'm really looking forward to the interview, but I'm also looking forward to Anastasia and the news report. So, Anastasia, take it away.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Lavendar. Hello, Ariel. I hope you all had a wonderful week.
We did.
And hello to all of our Starseed listeners. It's so good to be with you tonight. And we've got some interesting, very interesting news. So I'd like to start tonight by talking about the sky. And maybe you're aware of, I'm sure you are, Ariel, the Draconid meteor shower has been going on. That outburst is now subsiding. But, you know, last night they said that there was more than 1,000 meteors per hour. It's now beginning to subside, but the surge in activity yesterday made news.
Wow.
They said that the Earth was passing through a network of debris streams from comet 21P Giaboni-Zinner. That's a source.
A comet by any other name is still a comet.
Right. Mm. Well, they say this is the source of the Draconid shower that comes by every year. And they said this outburst appears to have been caused by a filament of comet dust shed by this comet, I won't repeat the name, in the year 1959. So that long ago, we are still experiencing incoming debris from that. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
When we talk about space, we really have to get the big picture in time and dimension. And anyway, we're having some geomagnetic storms across the planet, and one is still in progress as Earth passes through a wake of a CME that arrived yesterday, and reports of auroras are coming in from across Canada, and of course, again, the northern tier of the United States. So just a lot of activity going on with the sun, and especially with fireballs, asteroids, comets, meteors. Oh boy, that's just big news. Every week I'm stressing that, but every week we find out more things. Now, we have some near-Earth asteroids approaching. One came by yesterday, and another one is due here in a few days. And I want to say to you, I think I've probably reminded the listeners before, but these asteroids, as they come in, often are not spotted until just before their arrival or their approach. And I watch this fairly regularly for the news report. During the week, I check it. Just a few days ago, there wasn't an indication of these asteroids. And then, lo and behold, here they show up on the charts. I mentioned in a news report a few weeks back that the government had been keeping track of these incoming fireballs and sharing it with scientists, astronomers and such, but that they had begun to classify this information. And scientists were complaining because they needed that information to sort of track and project, you know, incoming for the safety of the planet, and wanted the government's information. But that has since been classified. And I'm assuming that these reports that I'm getting, when they find these, are found by amateur astronomers or maybe universities, people out there that are looking. But this is apparently not coming from government reports. And they are appearing, you know, daily. They just show up out of nowhere. I mean, they're not seeing them. I check the charts. Looks like there isn't going to be any asteroid coming very close for the rest of the year. And then all of a sudden, I look, and lo and behold, they're coming in, and they're very close. Now, yesterday, that was, day before yesterday, on Sunday, a large asteroid from about 24 to 55 meters wide flew past the Earth. Now, it was discovered on October 5th. That's just 2 days before it came by. And it was discovered by an observatory in Arizona, this one was, and it was given the code name 2012 TV. Now, it flew only 254,000 kilometers away from the Earth, which is 0.6 astronomical distance, or 0.6 distance of the moon, the distance from the moon to Earth. That's very, very close. That's skimming us. Then
a lunar distance is what they call it in the, I think the
lunar distance. Did I say astronomical distance? I meant LD.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. What? But I thought maybe someone knows. Is the moon? I'm going back to my high school science class. Isn't it like 293 or 63,000 miles from the Earth? 263 seems to stick in my head.
It's pretty approximate, yeah.
Is that kind of kind of close?
But kilometers
yeah.
and miles are different, so I still don't know my metrics. I got to admit that.
Yeah.
I'm still old school, so I've never bothered to learn metrics. Maybe somebody out there can tell us how many miles 254,000 kilometers is. Anyway, that still is close because I just go by the decimals, and 0.6 is really close. Okay, and on the 12th here coming up, they're watching an asteroid that's about the size of 30 meters wide or big, and that's going to fly by at the distance of 88,000 kilometers, or 0.2 lunar distance. 0.2. That's really close. And this was discovered by an observatory in Hawaii. They've called that one 2012 TC4. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm wondering if they're just because our communication system is so much faster now that has this been happening for eons of time and it's just now getting the publicity? Or is it because of this merging of our galaxy with the next galaxy and the Sagittarian arm that we're in?
Is this
something that happens all the time and we just go about our merry business?
Right. Well, that's a really good question. I think that shows your sound thinking, because we should ask questions like that. But, you know, we've been watching the skies with telescopes for quite a while now, and this is definitely an increase. Now, mainstream media will tend to minimize this, but if you watch it closely and you follow all the news stories and go around and gather them up like I do, it's really clear that there is an increase, you know, and surely some of it is connected to reporting, but the eyewitness accounts of meteors in the sky and fireballs is certainly something that I think is way on the rise, way on the rise. So, good question, but I think that it is connected to, and some astronomers and scientists have said that it is because of the rotation of the planet, where we are in the galaxy, and it's that particular phase that we're in. So I would say that it is a relatively recent development, at least this time around. Surely it's happened before. You know, they say that the extinction event that eliminated the dinosaurs, there's a lot of speculation that that was an asteroid that hit the planet at that time. So obviously the Earth has been recycled numerous times, and this won't be the first time that we've come into a phase like this. So anyway,
we're not saying
no.
It's going to be the big one, because certainly we have enough support of off-world races that they're not going to let that happen. So
well,
yeah,
I'm staying neutral on this. I'm just reporting the news.
Okay.
Because this is about Earth changes and the things that are going on, and I want
Starkey
listeners to report to me if they do see a fireball. Because in the UK, on the 21st of September, there was a huge fireball. They're calling it the Great Meteor, actually. That's what they're calling it, that went over the UK. And I kind of pretty much ignored that, because there's just so many reports going on everywhere about that. So I didn't even report that, I don't think, in that week's segment of the news. But I've since seen video on the Internet. My goodness, is that impressive. They say that they think it was likely an Aten asteroid that orbits across the Earth's orbit that came down in that area. I think that was also seen over Canada. But it's a very impressive video of a descending fireball, if anybody wants to watch that on YouTube. And there was another fireball that was filmed in Verona, Italy, on the 2nd of October. And as a related article, it's very interesting. I had heard nothing about this till I came across it recently. The Russians have decided to track an asteroid with a beacon. And there is an asteroid called Apophis. And apparently it's a famous asteroid. I had not heard of it before, as I said. But they're worried that it might change its course and eventually collide with the Earth. So what Russia wants to do is to plant a radio beacon on the surface of this celestial body and assess the risks that it poses to the planet. And so they are actually planning to land a module on the surface of Apophis and set up a radio beacon. And they're going to monitor it in that way, and they want to launch that before 2020. So I just thought that was fascinating.
Well, it's got to be pretty far away then.
Well, I don't know.
The 30s,
they say that, let's see. Well, they say it's going to pass by at 36,000 kilometers from Earth, but they're concerned about gravitational pull on the planet or on the meteor itself, asteroid, I should say. It was discovered in 2004, and they say it has a 1 in 223 chance of impacting the planet. And they named it after the Egyptian god, the Apophis, who is the archenemy of the sun god Ra. So that's all really dramatic. So there are a lot of scientists that get paid a lot of money to watch this, and there's quite a bit of research going on in space about that. Lots of probes and lots of telescopes in the sky watching all this stuff and tracking it. And it just sort of makes you dizzy when you think about it, because we feel like we're standing still. But we're actually in rotation. We're moving around, spinning around. We're moving through the galaxy. We are. It's kind of like a big, a bumper car kind of a thing going on out there in space, where things are flinging and flying and moving. And when you think about it, it can just make you a little bit dizzy. So it's a good example of how things are kind of illusory. You know, we think that everything is still and solid, but it's really not. Motion is a law of thermodynamics, and space is very right. active and constantly changing. So anyway,
and it is thrilling. I mean, it is thrilling to just for with meteor showers that the ones that we have are normal ones. It's thrilling to watch things streak across the sky.
Did you see any last night? Were you able to look?
Well. It was a little cloudy here last night.
Oh, that's night. Too bad.
But we do have a new moon coming up, and that's the best sky viewing of all.
Well, there'll still be some this evening. They say the best time to look for these is before midnight.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
And if you're out west or in Montana or, a place where the sky is big and the weather is cool, it'd be a great night to go out and look where there aren't any streetlights. And so, anyway, we've had... that's all for the sky I'm going to talk about tonight. There's tons of stuff, but that's enough. there's been some earthquakes. There always are earthquakes. But in Mexico recently, in fact, it was just yesterday, there was a magnitude 6.0 earthquake in Topolobampo. Don't know if I said that right. And also a 6.3 in south-southeast of Saparua, Indonesia. And there is a volcano that is active now in Indonesia. It's Mount Lokon, and it's in its seventh eruption since September. And it's spewing out ash, and no lava or anything, but it's active and it's erupting again for the seventh time since September. We don't have any listeners in Indonesia, do we, Ariel? Do you know? Have we had any?
Yeah, we do. We do.
We do. Okay.
Uh-huh,
well,
we do.
Well, anybody in Indonesia that wants to share with me your experiences, I'd love to hear about that. Okay, so anyway, NASA, this is about a pole flip that NASA has some interesting things to say about that. And I got this off of Reuters, by the way. The discovery by NASA rover Curiosity of evidence that water once flowed on Mars, which they say it's the most Earth-like planet in the solar system, should intensify interest in what the future could hold for our planet, because they say the only thing stopping Earth having a lifeless environment like Mars is the magnetic field that shields us from deadly solar radiation. And that magnetic field also helps animals migrate, as you well know. And they think that this magnetic field could be a lot more fragile than people might think. They say that the Earth's magnetic field is weakening and could disappear in as little as 500 years, they say. Now, this is a scientific view. Is a precursor just before it flips or reverses. And they say that that's happened before, that the geological record suggests that the magnetic field has reversed and does reverse every 250,000 years, meaning that with the last event, they say the last event was 800,000 years ago, another seems to be long overdue. Now, they say that magnetic north has already migrated more than 1,500 kilometers over the past century. And in the past 150 years, the strength of the magnetic field has lessened by 10%. That they think makes them think that a reversal is in the wind or in the cards. They say that the effects are hard to predict, but the loss of the magnetic field on Mars billions of years ago, they think that's what put the end to into life on the planet. And so, anyway, Edgar Cayce talked about that, and so scientists are finding that the magnetic field of the planet goes through fluctuations just like everything else, and they say that it always restores itself, but that it does absolutely go through changes, and they're detecting changes in it now. Okay, so they're in New Jersey. Any listeners in New Jersey, I'd like to have feedback from you if you heard about that mysterious boom that went on Friday the 5th of October. Manchester Township in New Jersey experienced a big boom that they say shook block after block in Ocean County. It's an Ocean County community. And they said it sounded like an explosion. And nobody knows where it's coming from. The Lakehurst military base is nearby, but they denied any explosions or you know, anything that would have caused it from that end. And so they don't know what that's all about. But that kind of ties into that big humming sound that's been reported in New Zealand in an area around Mount Victoria and also in Auckland North Shore. People say it's driving them crazy. They're getting this low-pitched humming sound. And one guy said it was just doing his head in. So they don't have any idea what that might be either. So this kind of goes along with some of the earth sounds and sky sounds that I've been reporting over the last 6 months. It's still continuing, and it still is at various places across the planet. Now, we have a really interesting story about honeybees. And this is about France, too. You all have been to France. So since August, bees in the French town of Ribouville in Alsace. Is that how you say that, Alsace, or is it Alsace?
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay. Well, you know, I've seen this word a million times, Alsace. So I'll just say Alsace. But the bees have been coming back to their hives with strange products. The beekeepers said they didn't know what it was. It was colored blue and green, sometimes brown chocolate. The bees are making blue and green honey. And beekeepers have not known what to make about it. But recently, they think they found the cause. There is a plant about 2.5 miles away that processes waste from an M&M's factory. And the bees have apparently been collecting the sugary waste from those containers that they use in the manufacturing of M&M's at a Mars plant about, you know, a few miles away. Now, they say this is a testament to the resilience of bees, but they're also pointing out that it also shows that the bees are under stress in a way that is a concern. Now, this, by the way, this is honey that can't be sold. They don't consider it to be honey. So it really did sort of demolish some beekeeping businesses because they just couldn't sell the honey. So what they complained, and I guess the Mars company or the company associated with this, whatever, the name, I guess it's called Agrivalor, whatever, they tightened down their tanks or put it in airtight containers to prevent the bees from getting into it. So that's going to help the bee producers' honey crop, but all of it had to be wasted. But what they're talking about is just an example of the challenges that bees are facing right now, because it's been well documented that just a number of bees around the world, the total number has been declining, and sometimes dramatically. Some years is far worse than others. And they're connecting the loss of bees to pesticides and other things in the environment that are hard for them. And so they say that bees, being resourceful, are now in certain places, by the way, because of the weather, the severity of the weather has affected the plant life and flowers and things like that, and they may not have the availability of food in that particular area of France. And so they're saying that the bees, being resourceful, are getting their sugar where they can. And so anyway, that's interesting, but bee experts are saying that this should be a warning about the need for all companies to dispose of waste carefully and sustainably, because who would ever think that bees would get into it, you know? So These are just, as you know, as our society gets complicated, as we get further and further away from nature and we sort of grow and expand and it's all about the dollar bill and that's all we're thinking about, we're not connected to the planet, we don't think about the results of our behavior. It has such widespread repercussions for all the little beasts on the planet, all creatures great and small. And we all need to be aware of that. I know I'm preaching to the choir here because our star is very earth-conscious. Now, on the other hand, Sweden happens to be so green, everybody, that it has to, guess what, import garbage. Sweden imports its garbage. This came from Public Radio International. And only 4% of the household waste in Sweden ends up in landfills. The rest is recycled or is sent to waste-to-energy power plants where they burn it as fuel. Isn't that far out? They burn their trash and make fuel out of it. And the waste-powered plants provide 20% of Sweden's district heating, in which heated water is pumped through pipes to residential and commercial buildings, and it provides electricity for 250,000 homes and over about 5 million households. Isn't that something?
Now, well, if they go Sweden,
isn't that right? And so they even buy their trash, or they import trash up to 800,000 tons from other European countries, including Norway. So, if they can do it, we can do it, right? Isn't that
awesome?
Raising the
bar for the rest of the world. That is wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful? So this is, we just see that we have choices, don't we?
It can be done.
It can be done. You know, we can
put
out stuff that's going to be bad for the bees, or we can start burning our garbage to make clean fuel.
Energy.
Yes, clean energy. Right. So there's always choices, and it's good to know we have choices. Okay, last week we talked about cell phones just a little bit. I touched upon that. And I wanted to tell you a story about India. India is now leading the rest of the world to protecting customers from the effects of radiation emanating from cell phones and cell phone towers. Now, India has no problem stating its case. It has claimed that that the energy that's absorbed by the body from cell phones is dangerous. And it says that they want to decrease the acceptable amount of radio frequencies to 1/10 of their previous limits. And they call it the, hold on a second here. I don't know what they call it. Actually, doesn't matter. You don't need to know that.
No, we don't need to know that. We just need to know that they're on the right track.
Yes, they are. And they are trying to take down cell phone towers and informing their population that people with medical implants, very young people like children and young teenagers and pregnant women should not be exposed or should have additional safety measures in place around cell phones and cell phone towers. Now, they have found they don't have any problem saying that cell phones are dangerous as a class 2B carcinogen, and they say that the radiation is possibly carcinogenic to humans. And so specifically pinpointing cancer originating in the brain. So here's a country that's coming forward and doing something about it and making this public. So there you go. India is paving the way for that. And the last story of tonight.
You know what? We have a lot of things we got to go over tonight. So that's a good note to end it on. With doing something positive like
next
that.
Next week we'll talk about bacteria that poops gold.
Okay, well, we're going to get us some of that. And
all
also,
right.
Next week, Anastasia, it's going to be all you because we're going to be in Hot Springs.
Yes, I have some wonderful guests lined up for everybody, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun show.
Okay, well, great. Well, thank you so much. That's Anastasia with the Starseed News.
Good night, everybody.
And thank you so much. Lavendar has segment 3. This is just a short segment, the final segment of her interview with her close friend Deb Regas.
So, Starseed listeners, we have with us again Deborah Regas, who has written a book called Everyone's a Guru, and we're giving a period of time, a part 1, part 2, now to part 3 today, for Deborah to come forth and talk to us about her book. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, Love and Darth. I'm really delighted to be here, I got to tell you. It's so much fun.
Well, I am so proud of this book, and this book has so many different facets to it, and I'd kind of like to talk about now some of the things that you put in the book. Chapter 1 is Lessons from My Life, Those are things that probably, you know, brought you to the place where you are now. Would you like to talk a little bit about those lessons? And also, what is a guru? What is a guru to you?
Well, the book will address the guru in depth, So, but basically, in one word, teacher. Okay?
Okay.
So, but as for the lessons, yes. My whole life has been a spiritual journey. We don't know that, but that's true, I think, for all of us. We just aren't aware of it necessarily until we may be coming into our teens or 20s or 30s or whenever it is that we start to realize who we are. And a profound connection with perfect love, perfect light, divinity, God, creator. And I fell a lot. I tripped. I tripped over people and concepts and ideas. And then I started to formulate who I was in my responses to all of that, or my reactions at the time, because I was a pretty feisty young teenager, and rebellious is another word. So I couldn't take anything at face value. I wanted to know truth, and that has been my truth since I was a child. I ached to know who I was, who I am, and how I fit into this big picture. And so part of chapter one is all about some of the moments that kind of taught me about intuition and very stark moments that made me go, oh my gosh, I'm part of something so spectacular and magnificent. What an amazing being I am, as well as this amazing and extraordinary planet. And so how to utilize the information with everyone I encounter. And then I began encountering more and more people and more paths and more events and experiences that kind of directed me toward knowing what I know now. And, oh, my gosh, I have no regrets for any of it. I'm grateful for even the hard knocks.
Well, some of
that shook me up.
Yeah, some of the hard knocks are the ones that stay with us the longest because they were so hard, but they also transform a person once you have them. I'm looking down through the contents of this, and I'm noticing one that says, frauds, hoaxes, charlatans, and false prophets. That's got to be
a great chapter. it was a challenging one to write because it's very difficult. Some people think that they're quote guru is the end all be all in their world and that they can't function without one. And yet there are people out in the world who are practicing falsely and misleading people, taking lots and lots of money from well-meaning, loving souls who just get sucked up into either some excitement or some ritual or some event where thousands of people show up or something, right? And so they get caught up in something that is totally not true and not real. Although I would, you know, that could get me off on the side thing about the whole reality illusion about our life, but I won't go there right now. But basically, there are a lot of people right now hidden behind false masks. And I try to get people to realize what that looks like a little bit. I draw a little bit of a painting of that in a different way than I've seen in much other material. But I also, part of me when I wrote this was because my own children, my own family, my nieces, my nephews, I also want them to be alert. And I want people to pay attention, like we were saying earlier, that people do reveal who they are. If you give them long enough also, you will know who is a sincere and loving spiritual leader, as it were, or teacher. You will know. You will be able to feel it within your gut, your heart, your soul. But this section, I think, is very important, especially right now with the internet, because, oh, my gosh. And I actually use numbers because I spent a lot of time researching how many people out there are claiming to be the person with the answer. And, right. There's some very scary ones and some wonderful people out there as well. You just have to find the right ones.
Right. I'm noticing that you have something on who you're going to call.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like Ghostbusters.
Well, that was the idea, because a lot of people think that Ghostbusters is just a movie. It's just fiction. fiction, but you know what? I've had too many experiences to tell me that it's not always fiction. And my direct experiences, I only picked a couple of very light moments, not very challenging moments. They were minor moments. And then I told the story about Spain, which is a big moment. And, oh, my gosh, I learned so much from 10 days being pretty much locked up with a very dark energy and what I had to deal with about that. And so what I'm just trying to do in that chapter is to say, okay, pay attention here. Walk the other way if you get those, you know, heebie-jeebies. But it's not just a real light approach to it. I really try to bring a little bit of awareness in a different way than I've seen other people do.
Right.
Drawn directly from my own experience. And yes, I have seen spirits, and yes, I have seen the ugly stuff, and yes, I've gotten out alive. Thankfully.
Yeah, I know. You and I, we were working together at that time, and I was sitting here on pins and needles and
yes.
and sending every Galactic Secret Service agent I could to Spain to help you out of that. That was
yeah.
really quite something.
And your listeners may recognize you in that chapter. They may, you know, the one of the people I was texting, you know, panic stricken with, oh my God, I can't get out of this, was you. So.
Okay. Another thing that is coming up, looking at the contents, it says slices of the cosmic pie, A to M plus 1111. What is that?
Well, that's the first of two chapters. These are the longest chapters in the books, and this is why I started to think, oh, no, am I going to bog down everybody with sort of the primer, the spiritual primer thing? But you know what? I thought, no, this is actually the way I want to do it. And so I divided the alphabet kind of in half with subjects. There are 111 subjects that I address, some with one or two lines and some with several pages. And the cosmic pie, to me, is kind of how I envision our whole experience. It's kind of like, or spiritual experience, as it were. The A to M just covers everything from what? Angels to, I think, magnets and all kinds of things. There's so many subjects in here. But then, and the 1111 just didn't fit alphabetically, but it's a really important one to me. I've actually written articles about portals and time like that. And then the second one, the cosmic pie, N to Z, is where we find the divine feminine at the end. But the N to Z covers the Native Americans and, so many other things, all the way up to zero point, I think. And some of these subjects are things that not everybody actually has heard about. And I think it's not wise to assume that everyone knows everything about all these subjects. It's impossible. How could we possibly know that unless it's beyond us. But this is introductory. They're both introductory chapters that just sort of give, from my direct experience, my take on these subjects. And a little, you know, it is a bit tongue-in-cheek in parts, and then there's some very serious moments.
And I'm going to say one more time that it took you a couple of years to do this because you were diagnosed with cancer and you're going through that process now, and I'm sure you're going to be writing another book when this cancer event is over. So I want everyone to write down this website, www.thalassabooks.com, or go to Amazon or Books and Noble. And if you want to contact Deborah, it's www.completewritingcoach.com. Again,
yes, and I
want to give that website again for ordering the book, www.thalassabooks.com.
Yes, and I have to mention, if I may, my cover designer, Christine Julian, and my editor, Beth Kimball, because they were amazing help, and they have just gone beyond the call of duty. And Christine is actually an author in her own right, and maybe someday you can get her on here. But I love the cover, and we went, you know, I had kind of a concept, and she just brought it to life for me, and Beth really helped me wheedle down the content and get to the meat of the matter, you know, and I appreciated them very much. I just have to say that.
Well, thank you. So I want everyone to, if they're interested to get this book, Everyone's a Guru. And Deborah, I thank you so much for the interview today, and I know that you're sitting up there in a cabin by yourself dealing with breast cancer and finding the courage to go on with your life, and we all just so bring whatever we can to you. We bring light, we bring love, we bring the emerald ray, we bring money, we bring whatever it is you're needing. I want to talk to the Starseed community and say, please support Deborah Regas with buying this book, Everyone's a Guru.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us today, and back to you, Ariel.
Thank you, Lavendar.
Well, thank you so much, Deb. And we have had a little bit of a snag here because Peter had something come up, and he may not be able to come back to join us. So I do have something else that we can present to you, because a lot of Starseed have had questions about their manifestational abilities. So, Lavendar, would you like to interject anything, or I would like to just run this to help Starseed with their manifestational abilities.
What happened to Peter?
Well, he had something come up that he had to go do, and we didn't know that he had a time issue here. So I have something that we can give to the audience.
Okay. Is Deb on the, did she call in?
I don't see her number. Deb, if you're on the switchboard, press 1 so we know you're here. No, I don't see it. So, this is how to manifest prosperity in your life.
Wow.
Since I've been hearing the same thing from many of our Starseed family, I thought it was time to record a condensed crash course on how to manifest prosperity. Years ago, when I was a struggling, starving musician, I complained to Lavendar one day, "You can't light up the world if you can't pay your electric bill." I was half joking and half serious, but that observation had so many levels that it's kind of become a code for us. I understand all too well what it's like to make deals with utility companies and landlords and having to put things back at the grocery store. I didn't like having a PhD on survival, but I hated the thought of being part of the 40 hours a week corporate machine even more. Music has always been my passion, so I was constantly scrambling to find enough gigs to get through another month. Then two things happened within days of each other and changed all of that forever. A friend of mine had given me a cassette tape of Esther Hicks channeling Abraham's teachings on manifestation. There was something about it that was so clear, so succinctly put, that it resonated with me completely. I listened to it over and over again, trying to brainwash myself. But it wasn't until the second thing happened that it clicked. Many of you may be familiar with Abraham's teachings, but over the years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have done so many workshops with so much to offer that there may be some pieces you're missing if you find that you still have financial challenges. So my goal with this recording is to take all the bits and pieces that I've found to be very useful tools and exercises and put them all together in a nice, neat little package for you. And I'll add it to our vault of knowledge in MP3 form so you can listen to it over and over if you need to until that click happens to you. The basic and most important concept to understand is that we are all vibrational beings. I know this isn't news, but that's the basis. Every second of every day, your thoughts and emotions exist as a definable vibration with a specific frequency. In essence, you're a radio tower broadcasting nonstop to the universe. The law of attraction is always at work, always in motion, and so is the universe. if you want to understand the quantum physics of this, I suggest watching two movies called What the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret. The beauty of the law of attraction is that it is absolute. It's a universal constant. It works for everyone in the same way, for better or for worse, and you can count on it. The universe is always sending you a match for your emotional, vibrational frequency. The key word here is emotional. It's the feeling you project that carries the power. You can make positive affirmations all day long, but if you still feel poor, you're wasting your time. You're not going to get ahead. Now, don't get me wrong, positive affirmations are very important, but only if you don't cancel them with your emotional state. The perfect illustration of this is the second thing that happened that week that really made it click for me. I've been listening to the tapes, trying to do the exercises and refine my manifestation skills, but it seemed like I wasn't doing something right. Then something happened, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was a Tuesday afternoon, and of course, musicians never work during the day, so I had gone to the barn to ride my horse, Avatar, who is the galactic horse that you may have heard about on our radio show. I owned his mother before him and took him out of the bag the night he was born, and I was and am committed to his care for the rest of his life. But it was a struggle to feed him and keep shoes on his feet, just the same as any other child. So I often went without so I could feed him. I'm telling you this so you can understand my perception of reality at that time. I saddled him up with my third hand English saddle and bridle, my leather chaps and gloves, which had been a Christmas present, and set off for my pleasure ride in the woods. And in order to get back to the barn, we had to walk alongside the road for about 50 yards, and in that short distance is when it happened. A really beat-up old car filled with Mexicans was passing by us. I glanced over because the car was making so much noise, and I made direct eye contact with one of them, and I could read her thoughts. Look at that rich American not even working on a Tuesday afternoon, horseback riding in that fancy outfit. As my consciousness melded with hers in that split second, I saw myself through her eyes, through her reality. I had a shot of adrenaline rush through my consciousness that dissolved my old concepts of my financial position in life. My first thought was, I must be rich, because only rich people have horses. And I have a car that I don't have to share. You probably heard the saying that reality is only a matter of perception, but seeing it and commanding it are two different things. So let's get into commanding prosperity perception. Would you rather wish and hope for prosperity, or would you rather command it? There's a whole different frequency between hoping and deciding. Hope allows for failure, incompletion, and disappointment. Hoping also takes it out of your hands. Deciding to create gives the power to you. So the first thing you have to do is simply decide to create prosperity. The energy has shifted already. Now, these are some exercises that I've learned from Abraham's teachings over the years, plus a couple of techniques that I really don't remember where they came from, only that they work. The first thing you need to do is pay attention to your solar plexus, which is the chakra center in your stomach. It is your inner guidance telling you whether or not something is in alignment with your desires, or your mission for that matter. The next thing you have to do is decide what it is that you desire to create deliberately. Spoken word and the written word both have great power, and the written word helps bring it into the third dimension. So make a list and write it down, and be very, very specific. I know you're already starting to put those big things down on the list, as if you were a first-year piano student wanting to start with Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. But we have to start with something you don't have a huge emotional attachment to, because you have so much energy built up around the big things. you first have to prove to yourself that you can do it. Abraham teaches us to hold the pure vibration of what it is that you're wanting for 17 seconds. I started with feathers because I like feathers, and I don't have any emotional investment in attaining them. You can choose anything from your everyday environment. Some people choose blue glass. Others choose butterflies, particular birds, coins on the ground, good parking spots, anything, as long as you have no emotional investment in it, and it's a common object in your vicinity. The next step is finding the vibration of joy of having that object. The beauty of this part is that the universe doesn't know the difference between pretending, reminiscing, or actually having. All it knows is the vibrational frequency you transmit. Search your memory for any moment in your life where you felt such gratitude that it brought tears to your eyes. When you felt such joy that your stomach was tingling, that's the sensation that must accompany the image in your mind for a minimum of 17 seconds. You must hold that pure frequency. For 17 seconds, you have to be the joy of having that which you desire. Abraham says that 17 seconds of a pure frequency is equal to 200 man or woman hours of physical work towards that desire. A continuous 30 seconds would be 2,000 hours. 68 seconds would be 20,000 hours. You don't have to break your back and work yourself to the bone. You just need to find the frequency of joy and gratitude, hook it to that which you desire, and hold it for a minimum of 17 seconds. Don't allow any other thought into your mind or any other feeling into your heart while you are doing your 17 seconds. It has to be the pure vibration of gratitude for having that which you desire. It says in the Bible to pray for a thing as if you already have it and give thanks. After you've planted your first manifestational seed, the next step is allowing it to develop and grow and to come to you. You can't run outside the next day and dig up to see if it's sprouting roots. The moment you observe that it doesn't have roots yet, you've canceled yourself. But you can always start over. When you get into the car to go to the grocery store, you don't call ahead to make sure they're open. You absolutely know they're open, and get in the car without any doubts. It's kind of like that. So now you've decided to manifest some common everyday thing as your first exercise. Like I said before, I chose feathers. I thought about how pretty they were and how they represented birds in flight and freedom, the pretty colors and how delicate they are. I thought of holding one in my hand, and I gave thanks from the core of my being for this precious thing. I called up so much gratitude that my eyes started welling up with tears of joy. A few days later, I was walking my dog and I was barely out of my driveway when I looked down and saw a feather on the ground. My heart jumped when I saw it, and when I picked it up, I relived my 17 seconds, only this time with even more joy and gratitude. Every time I found a feather, and whenever I happened to think of it during the day, I did another 17 seconds for my feathers. Within a few weeks, I had to decide what to do with all these feathers. So I went and got a styrofoam ball and started sticking them in. Then I decided that I liked the blue jay feathers the best. And now my 17 seconds was all about blue jay feathers. I was just tickled when I started finding only blue jay feathers, and I was walking in the same neighborhood. So after my styrofoam ball didn't have any more room for feathers, I decided on butterflies because I wouldn't have to bring them back home. I used the exact same process, only now I focused on how much I love butterflies, and I hooked it with that emotion of gratitude. I started seeing butterflies wherever I went, and I was careful to allow them to be my butterflies. One fleeting thought of that butterfly would have been here anyway would have canceled my manifestation. Another thing I noticed is that attracting butterflies into my reality happened more quickly than the feathers, probably because I was getting better at holding the pure vibration for more than 17 seconds. I'll never forget the day I was walking my dog. I was no more than a block from my house when I noticed a few butterflies, and I smiled. But by the time I reached the end of the block, I was being swarmed with dozens of butterflies all around me, and they followed me. By this time, I was giggling with gratitude. What next? Hummingbirds. That's it. Hummingbirds. So I went out and got a little hummingbird feeder and hung it outside where I could see it from inside the house. I did my 17 seconds, and I thought of seeing a hummingbird with joy in my heart, and I waited. After having such quick success with feathers and butterflies, I fully expected to see a hummingbird almost immediately. But every time I'd look out the window, there was no hummingbird. What I didn't realize at the time was that every time I observed they're not here yet, I was canceling myself. I tried for 2 months, and I kept canceling myself. I did it before, so where are my birds? When I realized I wasn't allowing hummingbirds into my reality by observing their absence, I decided to try something a little different. I went out to my hummingbird feeder and cupped my hands around it and did my 17 seconds or more and imagined how it would feel when I saw my first visitor to the feeder. When I walked back into the house, the phone rang, and before that conversation was over, I saw the most precious little hummingbird at my feeder. Again, the feeling of joy and gratitude in that moment is one I'll never forget. I have three more exercises to tell you about, but first I want to quote Abraham. Nothing is as important than that you feel good. When you catch yourself thinking a negative thought, it's the perfect opportunity to pivot that energy and think about something that makes you feel good. The goal is to be feeling good at least 55% of the time. The best way to accomplish that is through what Abraham calls segment intending. This is when you break your day down into small segments and only focus on the task at hand. For example, if you have to go to the grocery store, intend to have a safe and relaxing drive there. Find a great parking space and all the delicious food you'll be bringing home. Be grateful for having a car, for being able to walk through the grocery store, and being able to buy your food. Don't allow thoughts like, I only have a limited amount of money for food, because that's not the seed you want to plant. Each segment of your day is an opportunity to change your perception and therefore your reality. One of my favorite exercises is taking 50 $1 bills, folding them in half, and putting them in my top shirt pocket before I go to Walmart. When you fold them in half, it looks like a really big wad of money. I don't allow myself to think it's only $50. I keep looking down at my pocket, bulging with money, and thinking, I have a big wad of money in my pocket. I stroll through Walmart, just browsing through the aisles, looking at anything that catches my eye, and I say to myself, I could buy that if I wanted it. I just don't want it right now. When I make that statement, I go to my feeling of joy and gratitude, and as far as the universe is concerned, emotionally, I spent thousands of dollars that day. It doesn't matter that the $50 never came out of my pocket. It only matters that you transmitted the frequency of prosperity and allowed the universe to deliver your abundance, because it always gives you more of what you're focused on. Unexpected cash is a great seed to plant, so anytime you see a penny on the ground, pick it up and give 17 seconds of thanks for the unexpected cash. If you look at it and say, oh, it's only a penny, I'm not bending over, energetically, you've told the universe that you don't want the money. Now, after you decide on what it is that you're wanting, make a list and write it down. Start with the smaller things, like the feathers or whatever you choose, and do your 17 seconds or more. When you see that thing come into your life, move on to the next. Then pay attention to the feeling in your solar plexus or stomach area. If it feels tight or uncomfortable, then what you are thinking or doing at that moment is not in alignment with your manifestational desires. It's the perfect opportunity to pivot that energy back to the frequency of abundance and gratitude. Starseed people carry a lot of power, and if you don't know how to focus it on what you want, you can bring more of what you don't want faster than non-starseed. Even though my focus here is on prosperity, this process works for health, careers, and even relationships. But I have to caution you that you must never interfere with anyone's free will. You can use it to attract a mate, but don't name any names, and be very, very, very specific with the qualities that you're seeking in a relationship. The next technique I call the magic checkbook. I happen to have an old batch of checks that had been misprinted, so I used them for this exercise, but when those were gone, I scanned one of my normal checks and made several copies. You don't really have to go through all that trouble, but the idea is to make it feel as real as possible. Do the same thing with your check register. The overall idea is to make imaginary deposits and write checks for everything you want to manifest. You can customize this to fit your own experience, but think about the most amount of money you've ever made in a day when you came home feeling victorious. You know how that feels because you've already seen it. That's the amount of money you should write as a deposit in your check register every day. Then start spending it, writing the checks for whatever you want, but don't think limiting thoughts like, I better save some. Just keep depositing and keep spending, feeling joy and gratitude with every check. Take all the checks you've written and put them in a little treasure box of some kind and keep it closed to hold the energy of unlimited abundance. It takes about 30 days to override past negativity and programming and replace it with the pure vibration of 17 seconds of gratitude for your abundance. I can't stress enough how powerful your words are. It's essential to police your thoughts and keep your transmitter on the frequency that's aligned with your desires, but it's absolutely imperative that you never utter words of shortage or lack to anyone. Don't give your attention to circumstances that you're trying to end. The law of attraction never sleeps, and the universe is always working to bring you what you're focused on. Remember that you are made in the image of the Creator, and even though you might be just a tiny spark of that source, you have the power to create the universe you live in, whether it's by default or by deliberate creation. Even more powerful than the spoken word is the written word. This last technique is called scripting or journaling. It's the diary of your future, however you wish it to unfold. Each day, just for a minute or two, write in your journal about a day you're having in the future. You're actually writing the script that you wish to experience. Always write in the present or past tense, because writing or saying things like I will, or someday, or my new job will be wonderful, that keeps it in the future and out of your present. Listen to the energy in these two statements. I'm going to be getting a wonderful new job, doing what I love, and I'm going to make a lot of money. I just got home from my first day at my new workplace, and I really loved the feeling of helping all those people. My coworkers were so supportive and kind, and I'm making twice as much money as I did before. I am so grateful to be living my dream. Always write your future script as if it's already happened, and describe how that makes you feel. So, just to sum up, practice your manifestation with objects that you have no emotional investment in attaining. Pick a moment from your past when you held the highest joy, the most gratitude, the most money, or the greatest happiness, and go to that frequency. Relive it with all your heart. As soon as you're there, bring the image into your mind of that which you have decided to attract, and hold that pure frequency for a minimum of 17 seconds. Then you must allow it to come and know that it must come because the law of attraction is absolute. Employ your segment intending as you go through your day to help you reset your thought patterns, giving focus to the gratitude you feel for all that you've been taking for granted. Get as many $1 bills as you can and keep your pocket or your wallet or your change purse stuffed so that each time you look at it, you tell yourself, I've got a big wad of money. You can also keep it in a drawer so that anytime you want, you can go look at a big pile of money, never allowing the amount to enter your thoughts. Create your magic checkbook and make your deposits every day and continue to write checks. Don't let the money pile up. You need to keep the flow in and out. Police your thoughts and words for canceling and limiting energy at least 55% of the time and start writing the script of your future. You might want to check out the Abraham Hicks website, which is Abraham-Hicks.com, and watch the movies The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know. You have so much power, and you were born with so many gifts. It's like being born with a pair of six guns and a couple phasers and photon torpedoes and a sword, too, but you're letting the third dimension beat you over the head with a stick. Suffering was not part of the deal here. So practice your manifestational skills until you can finally pay the light bill and light up the world.
That is something that if you listen to every day, we have that MP3 in the vault. And if you listen to it every day, as I said, just brainwash yourself with it until you can delete those limiting programs and replace them with programs that will provide abundance in every area of your life. I promise it works. So we are going to check in with Tammy, who is online right now, about some of the great work she's been doing. Let me get the mic open here. Hi, Tammy. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm doing great, and thanks so much for sharing your beautiful experience with manifesting. Wow.
It's the beauty of it is that it is absolute. It cannot fail if you do it, if you follow the directions. Yeah.
Well, you presented it like a master, so thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, talking about mastership, I understand that you have really opened up a whole new field in your healing, in your remote healing work, and you've been working with a lot of animals now.
Oh, yes, and, you know, I used to think it was my imagination that I could hear the animals talk and hear their voice prints, but I've got pretty good confirmation that it wasn't my imagination. it's just been such a blessing to connect with the animal kingdom in such a way and just see how the earth changes are affecting them. And I had a cat that came and the smart meters are just wreaking havoc with this cat's energy field. And I want that. I'm glad I'm remembered to bring this up tonight. If you have any pets and you have these smart meters at your house, pay attention to how it's affecting them.
And cats are especially sensitive to those frequencies. And I know that you really did some great work with my Labrador Retriever, who just had a all-natural cancer treatment that was completely successful, but he had a few rough days there, and he was scared, and you really, within minutes, connected with him remotely, and completely he stopped shaking and really calmed down. So I'll be forever grateful to you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Duncan is a high-level being on this planet. It's an honor to work with Duncan. He's something else.
I sure are. Well, I'm a little prejudiced, I know, because I love him so much, but it's nice to have that confirmation.
Oh, yeah. It was so easy to connect with him. And when I connect with an animal, I first make an energetic connection so that they trust me, and I pick up their energy. And then we kind of start swapping pictures, third eye to third eye. And Duncan, he's just so intelligent. He was so easy to work with. So it was a pleasure to, it's a pleasure to work with Duncan and Leah, both of your dogs. And I came across some cases where pets are reincarnating back into families that they've had lives with. One dog I'm working with passed away with cancer and came back as the same breed of dog to the same family. And the owner has cancer now. The dog has empathically taken on a lot of habits of chewing, obsessively chewing on itself, to the point where it's had to have surgery. And just through showing pictures and communicating with the dog, you know, showing that those lifetimes and how by it stopping this pattern and not being empathic and being a joyful companion, how it would help the owner. And they both have made a shift. The owner is on the up spiral with the cancer, and the dog is really on the up spiral with taking on empathically the owner's illness. I mean, it's just amazing.
Wow, you really got a bird's eye view of from other dimensions, really, really honing in, zeroing in on, you know, what animals are thinking, how they're reacting. And, yeah, picking up that the cat was having problems with the smart meter, you know, who could know that?
Yeah, and going into an animal's chakras can I'm finding, can do a lot of help with releasing things and patterns. And it's just opened up a whole new way of thinking for me. Cats with urinary tract infection, I might be onto something where they're getting a blockage in their bladder, and boy, if we can find a cure for that, what a blessing that would be for cats.
Yeah,
so many become homeless because of that problem.
Oh.
So I'm just so grateful to be working more with the animal kingdom. So thank you, everyone who has contacted me from being on the show and trusted me with their animals.
Well, you know, we love them like children, and they can't tell us where it hurts, you know. So sometimes, I mean, actually, you know, what you do is providing answers that can't really be found in any other way. But then going into, you know, telepathic communication to find out what's really bothering them. So as a lifelong animal lover myself, I thank you. On behalf of all the animals that you're helping and the owners that love them. Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Tammy. And
I have a favor before I get off.
Okay.
I was wondering if we could send the Emerald Ray together to someone.
Absolutely.
All right. Her name's Joyce Hobson. She's in Hudsonville, Michigan. She's 90, and she took a really bad fall and did some spinal cord damage, and she's not doing very well. If we can just send the Emerald Ray for just some grace and ease for her.
To Hudson, Michigan?
Hudsonville, Michigan.
Hudsonville, Michigan, and her name is Joyce. So everyone, project the Emerald Ray of healing with ease and grace to Joyce in Hudsonville, Michigan. Oh, she is surrounded with healing emerald ray from star seeds all over the planet.
Thank you so much, my family, Star City.
You're so welcome, Tammy. And if you wish to contact Tammy, just go to Tammy Stair, TammyStair.com.
And could I say just one more thing, please?
Sure.
I would like to say a word for Deb Regis. I've had the pleasure to get to know Deb in the last year. And she has just really touched my heart. And such a profound and intelligent writer. She has so many experiences and so much wisdom. And even following her blog through her experience battling this cancer, it taught me so much about human nature, about a lot of things. So please, please support Deb Regis and buy her book. And you won't be sorry. She is just such a gifted writer with so many experiences to share and so much wisdom.
Well, on behalf of Deb, we all thank you for that encouragement. So, Tammy, we will be we'll be seeing you very soon. As many of you know, we are going to Hot Springs, Arkansas next week with a selected group of starseeds to go digging for crystals in the crystal mines there. So next week, Anastasia will be handling the radio show, and we'll be back the week after that. So everyone, hold the point, and intend perfect weather for us. And we will be back the Tuesday after that, which is the, 23rd or something like that. So, Tammy, we'll see you in Hot Springs.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you for having me on tonight.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Well, Lavendar, do you have anything that you would like to conclude with?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed that our guest wasn't able to be on the show. But you know what? After hearing what you had to say about manifestation, I think a lot of people probably needed to hear that tonight. And it was always good for me to hear it. And I love hearing that story about, especially the part about the hummingbirds. I get a big kick out of that every time I hear it.
Well, you know, it is priceless information, because it really is the key.
Right.
And everyone must be responsible for the frequency that they emanate, and realizing that you can create your own universe with your intent.
Right.
So you
I'd
may
also
as well
like
intend
that,
what you want.
That while we're gone, for those that want to have a session with Anastasia, she's going to be available and taking care of the orders while we're gone. So don't feel like that we're neglecting you by not being able to answer our emails or have sessions with you. And I am now booked up until December. So just wanted to let everybody know that if you're wanting your solar return session done by me, you need to get in at least 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time, because I am that booked.
Yeah, well, that's very good advice. And we will, of course, be totally out of the office, as it were, for that week starting from Saturday, this coming Saturday. But we will be back, and Anastasia will hold down the fort. And yes, if you do have a solar return that you need to be, you know, have done, even just the calculation, please give 2 or 3 weeks in advance, because we don't want to miss that. And we really do have a massive amount of requests. So just giving you the time frame that you need to work within to have what you want. So with that, I am going to say good night, and we will be back 2 weeks from tonight. Anastasia will be here next week holding down the fort with a very interesting guest. And on behalf of all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, we thank the listeners for tuning in every week. We have an ever-growing audience, and it's really wonderful to realize that you are all part of a global community that is growing, waking up, and joining forces. And it's just a beautiful thing to see, and it's a wonderful thing to be part of. So we thank you so much for listening, and we will be back, Anastasia, next week, and we'll be back the following week. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.